It's even green, like go. All right, special ed. The third Sunday, the August 15th, we're going out down the road here to the Acme Plaza. But also I want to mention that Heath and I have been going to Spencer's Bazaar for the last 3 or 4 months. And that's open too. And what we do there outside, they don't charge us for any tables. So we're able to go there, put out scripture signs and have tracts. And just anybody that walks by, you know, we could talk to them. And what we've been doing is getting there at 7 in the morning, staying for a couple hours. So if anybody wants to go out and do that, they don't want to do the plaza deal or whatever, you know, guy go there and wife could go through the farmer's market and shop, however it'll work. That's just another opportunity. And I'm sure, you know, nobody will stop you if you think of an opportunity yourself and you have somewhere that you could, you want to go that, you know, Lord put on your heart or whatever. And that's kind of what Heath and I did with Spencer's Bazaar. Just kind of put it on our heart. We ran it by Pastor Ryman. He said, go ahead and do it. So there's another thing. And what we want to do is have that booth manned as long as there's foot traffic. So if people do a couple hours, you know, 8 people will get us through whatever 4 times 2 is 8. So that'll get us through a whole day. So just another opportunity and something that we really need to do. And actually it goes along with a lot of the things that Pastor Ryman was saying and also what the Lord gave me for you guys tonight. So first let's look in Proverbs 22:21. And this is just kind of my request from everybody if I'm ever up here like talking. Because who really thinks that if I say something, everything should hang upon what I say? I mean, other than Victoria. I know she feels that way. So that being said, last time I was going through Proverbs, Lord, I know I've read this verse, just like you with a lot of verses, dozens of times. But check out Proverbs 22:21. It says, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. So what I'm getting at is follow along in your Bibles. Amen. Don't say something because I said it or because pastor said it or pastor said or Tiffany said it or just, you know, we want it because it's the Word of God, not because it's somebody, not Dr. Ruckman, not James Knox, not, you know, Brother Peacock, not anybody. It's got to be from the Bible or else it's just a man's opinion. So as we go to these different passages, follow along. Because, and I'm sure a lot of people give testimony also that I don't know how many times I followed along and from a verse or two up or down, the Lord really gave me what I needed for that service. So, you know, just get you more, you know, involved with your Bible. So just want to make that known. Don't trust me what I'm saying. Follow along or else I'm liable to say anything. So with that in mind, let's go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And kind of, I guess, the background of this. The Lord sends us, I guess it was Saturday since we went out for the July month. The phrase kept going through my mind, you know, occupy till I come. And, you know, how we're supposed to be known, you know, when a land is occupied by another land or by, you know, another army or whatever, they know it. It's not something that's a surprise to any of the inhabitants of that land. So if we're here and we're going about our Father's business, those inhabitants of this land should know that there's an occupation, that there's people that don't quite really belong here among them by what they say, by what they act like, by what they wear. You know, if you saw somebody from the embassy of, you know, fill in the blank country, they're going to look different. You're going to know it. Their dress is different, which that's a whole message and that's a whole special week worth of meetings, actually. But their dress is different. Their speech is different, which is another week. You know, their attitudes, just there's so much that's different. And that's really what we need to do. So, like I said, I was thinking about this all through the week, you know, occupy. Are we occupying? Are we here? Are we occupying? Do people know? Do people know there's a church on the corner of 300 in Bryn Zion? You know, or, you know, if they do, is it because they just drive by or because we've talked about it, we've invited them? So Acts 1:8, But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So think about Jerusalem, we'll liken that to Smyrna. Judea, Kent County, Samaria, Delaware, and then uttermost part of the world, that's of the earth, that's just everything outside of Delaware. So do people in those areas know? Does Smyrna, if Smyrna doesn't know about us, shame on us. Kent County also, you know, right down the road is what, Clayton and Dover and whatever other cities are right around here, still learning them. But they ought to know about us. And then Delaware, just throughout, you know, wherever we go, we travel, it's not a big state, you know. We should be known, there should be tracks, and every once in a while you find tracks laying around. And I think I was at a AutoZone or something, I went to give a track out, and somebody said, oh, I got one like that, a chick track. So, I mean, that was a blessing to hear. Hopefully he read one or both of them and obeys the gospel, but it was just great to hear and see that one of our tracks was out already, and I can't remember what town AutoZone, the one I went to, was in. But I just want to set that map, that mental map in your mind about Smyrna, Kent County, and Delaware. You know, as you travel about, are you getting the gospel out? Are you being witnesses? Witnesses unto me. And that's, you know, if you're not familiar with the passage, that's Jesus Christ speaking. You know, are we talking about Jesus Christ? Do people know we are? So I jump over to 2 Corinthians 5. And this is going to tie in what I was saying a few minutes ago. And we're going to start in verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in God, in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So look at right there. You know, we're ambassadors. And again, I did a little look at the definition. And here's what an ambassador is: employed by a prince or state to manage the public concerns of his prince or state in representing the power and dignity of his sovereign. So is that how you carry yourself about the city, the county, the state, in your house? You know, we could all, I know I need help with that. Sometimes, unfortunately, the closest to us don't see the best of us, but you know, your family ought to see that first. So when you walk out the doors to play good Christian, you're not playing, you're just being yourself, and it's what they expect of you. Same with pastor. You know, if you're trying to fool pastor or pastor, shame on you, and just man up and, you know, be yourself. It's not doing you any good, and in fact, it's probably hurting the church, because he's thinking he's relying on you, and you're a problem, and the Lord can't use you, and somebody else that could be being used is just sitting on the sideline waiting because you're taking up space. So obviously the real story is get right, so then you don't have to do that, but Amen. Don't be phony about it. Amen. Looking a little more at ambassadors, so I did a looking around for what the job description, real quick. Full-time job is to live for a period in a foreign land, intentionally building relationships with the people native to that land, and purposefully representing to those people the desires of the king. So, I mean, what do you think of that? Where we look at Ephesians chapter 2. Amen. So we sing this, the hymn, and unfortunately, And again, just like what's been said already this morning, if you're newly saved, I mean, take an honest, you know, account of it. Ask somebody you trust if you're not sure where you fall in. But if you're newly saved, haven't been saved a while, or you have been saved a while and maybe you weren't in a good church that you could get grounded, then understand that the more meaty things, the more intense part of this isn't necessarily for you. But for instance, Chris, if you got saved last month and you're going out, just go with him. Just shut up and watch and learn and, you know, pray for him as he's doing stuff. But, you know, get a mentor, mentee, called discipleship. You know, if you're newly saved, find somebody that's been around that wants to do right. If you've been saved for a while and you see somebody new, likewise, go find them and see what you could get them involved with. So Ephesians chapter 2, look in verse 6. Let's start in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that's just one instance. There's at least another one or two places where it talks about us being in heaven already. It's interesting, and it actually, the example fits. If any of you have been in the military and you've deployed, to deploy is really weird, and obviously I'm not going Mormon where we started and having came here and going back, but when you deploy, it's interesting because it's like you're walking along in life, and then you just get plucked out of real life, and you're put in a foreign land with a mission to do. And you do that mission, and that's all your life is during that time period is that mission. And you know real life is over here still. And thankfully, in my deployments, I was able to make contact. Some have no contact back home. But it's weird because you're just doing this, even though you know real life is here. And again, if you read your Bible, you'll see that it's called temporal, where we're at now. You know, it's eternal is in heaven. Even though we haven't gotten there yet, that's our eternal life. That's where we are. This is just a little deployment. And eventually, whether it's the Lord coming back, which is really cool because when you deploy, they have a phrase called redeployment, and that's when you come back. That's when you get the orders to come back. It's really neat. Especially I was deployed, and I didn't know when I was coming back. So we had to keep waiting and talking and asking when my orders were here. And I wasn't there as long as I was supposed to be. That's really cool. Just thinking about it as far as the rapture. You know, as far as rapture goes, I got 25 or 30 more years to that 70 or years old or whatever. But if I got my orders sooner, I'll be happy for that. So, again, Ephesians 2:6, we're in heavenly places. We're there already. This is just temporary. Amen. You know, what is it, 2 Timothy talks about the affairs of this life, especially with the junk going on now. There's a lot of people, and unfortunately a lot of Christians getting caught up in it. Yeah. You know, it's whatever. You know, it's going to happen. You know, the funny thing, and I think, you know, I've talked with my wife about it, I'm sure, and other folks, is with all the craziness going on, it's not like discouraging to me or depressing. It's more looking around and like, this is how it's going to happen? Like, it's like, this? Yeah. This seems kind of weak. I thought there would be more, you know, explosions and fireworks and stuff like that, not just some politicians lying to us and we buying off on it. Yeah, right. But then again, you know, serpent was pretty subtle, right? Is that the word the Bible uses? Yeah. So this stuff's coming along subtly, but, you know, don't get discouraged by it. Don't get wrapped up in the affairs of the world. Amen. Just, you know, when you need to go back, Ephesians 2:6. You're not here, as much as it might seem. Think of a dream. When you're dreaming, it sure seems real, doesn't it? Same thing here. This isn't real as much as we want it to be sometimes and how much it seems. We're in heavenly places, and as soon as we get there, it's going to be as if we were never not there. So going back to that job description, the end of it talks about purposefully representing those people, the desires of the king. So think about some of the desires or some of the things that the Lord has told us in his word that he would like to see or wouldn't like to see. And there's a treasure trove, but we'll keep on the idea of witnessing. So look at 2 Peter 3. And we'll look in verse number 9. When you get there, because as we saw in Proverbs 22, you don't want to just trust me. You want to be able to give the Bible answer. So 2 Peter 3:9, The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's not willing. That's not what the Lord wills. That's not what he wants. He wants everybody to come to repentance. So looking at our job description, you know, we're purposefully representing him not wanting anybody to perish. How well are we doing that? You know, again, in your heart, take stock of where you're at. Look at 2 Corinthians 4. And we'll start in verse number 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So he commanded the light to shine out of darkness. So if you're saved, you're supposed to be light. So Amen. Get out of the darkness. Amen. You know, show your light. You know, then there's, of course, do a word search on light, and that'll humble you real quick. Look at 1 Thessalonians 2. All right, verses, let's see. I'll look at verse 2. 1 Thessalonians 2:2. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. So look at verse 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. And doesn't that go back to 2 Corinthians 5, where it talks about, let's go back there real quick in light of this verse. Put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. So go back to 2 Corinthians 5. Look at the end of, look at verse 18. We'll go through 18 and 19. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So, right, it goes right along with it. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So here we go. We got the word of reconciliation committed to us. It's the ministry of reconciliation has been given to us. And then just to say it one more time, let's see. Yeah, we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. So isn't that something, isn't that a responsibility that we're unfortunately failing, especially in this day and time? You know, where if nothing else, if you walk around with hope, you're going to look different. I mean, Saturday, there was a lot of people took tracks, but there was just a lot of miserable looking people.
That's right.
And that's the case now. And if you could show them hope, you know, people have their verses and for salvation and stuff. And mine was just, you know, in Ephesians, just a quick phrase, without hope and without God. You know, that's where I was. And that's where all these folks are that we have to reach. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. And here it comes. Take stock of where you are with this. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. You know, if there's anybody in Smyrna, you know, to be realistic, there's some people that just moved in, but you know what I'm saying. In general, if there's anybody in Smyrna that doesn't know the knowledge of God, shame on us. Amen. That's our job. This is our city. And then again, like in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and then if we go out, Kent County, are we reaching them? If not, shame on us. And then how about Delaware? You know, shame on us. How many of us can be going out either more often or can be going out at all? And in the one-on-one deals where you're in the grocery shop or the people you work with count too, I'm not discounting that, but at the end we'll look at a couple of examples, and I think there's a balance where you need both. You can't hide behind I witness one-on-one, and you can't hide behind I go out to the street. You need to be doing both. Amen. Amen. So let's look at John chapter 4. Actually, let's take a sidebar. Go to Acts 2. We'll look at that real quick. Many of you are familiar with Acts chapter 2. And we'll look at verse 14. And it says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, and that's the crowd, that's all these fellows. If you look at verse 9, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, and then 10, there's a bunch of other places. So there's a big gang. In other words, this is the example of street preaching. But Peter, standing up with the 12, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken unto my words. And then he goes through, you know, brief almost history of Israel and Jesus coming and how they crucified him. So that's, again, that's the example of going out in a public place, whether it's street preaching or in our other example, Spence's Bazaar, or if you go to a, you know, whatever, but a public place. And then look at Acts 9. We're going to stick with Peter. Let's see. And look at verse 24. Or 23. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after, they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met with him and fell down on his feet, worshipped them. Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. So that was Peter. If you remember, Peter was praying and, you know, he got a vision, and Peter went to talk to Cornelius, and there were some other people there, but he went specifically for Cornelius. Just like if you're at work, you know, you have all your coworkers, but there may be one that you're really working on and, you know, other people are hearing. But again, just we have to do both. We have to talk to family members specifically, coworkers specifically, the grocery store teller, bank teller, whatever, but you also got to go out in the masses and let them know. I mean, they do different things. Even Jesus, there's times where he preached right off the coast, and then there's times where he went to a well and talked to a lady. You need both. You need that balance. Amen. So let's go to John chapter 4, and we'll close with this. And again, the idea was, occupy till I come. You know, what are we doing? John 4, look at verse 30. We'll start at 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. So look at that. Go back up to verse 34. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? Amen. You know, Jesus said in John, even so send I you. Do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Can you think of that in context that Jesus Christ came here to start a work? And think of if that phrase was specifically to Faith Baptist Church. Hey, you guys are going to finish his work. You're going to finish it, right? It's not going to go undone, is it? It's going to be accomplished. So just leave you with that thought. You know, we got to occupy, guys. And with the craziness, and again, maybe the Lord's not coming for another 7,500 years or whatever, but things don't look good. And either way, we're supposed to act like it's coming tomorrow, tonight, in the next 5 minutes. So let's pray, and then we'll get on with prayer requests. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for giving us a mission. Thank you for making your orders clear. God, help us with our nasty, vile, disobedient hearts that we just get right as a church, as individuals. Individuals have to get right before the church could get right. So, Lord, I ask that you prick our hearts and show us what we ought to do and help us to be submissive. Be merciful to us, God, but help us to heed the instruction that your word gives us. In Jesus' name, amen.